All right, guys. Hey, how you doing? Coach Witt here, coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's Thursday, April the 11th. I'm here with Coach Buffy.
Hey, guys.
And also Brian Strump, our boss and our kind of leader, our gym owner.
Hello.
Brian's back with us today. We are coming to you with episode 8 of our Live Active podcast. Today, we're going to be talking to you about injury. What can you do if you get hurt in the gym or outside of the gym? What's the difference between kind of injury and your everyday soreness that you might experience, and some ways to kind of keep you motivated, keep you working out, even if you maybe do have some kind of injury?
Yeah, so I've dealt with this. I'm sure you have too in the past. But if you've been CrossFitting for such a time, or you've been in an athlete in any kind of sport, you start to learn or decipher what is workout pain or soreness versus actual injury. For myself, it was once I had done a competition and I was sore, and that moved to a point where I can no longer run. I was limping, and that to me was, okay, wait a second, maybe I should listen to my body. I'm obviously injured. What about for you, Whit? Have you had an injury like that where you've had trouble deciphering and then all of a sudden?
Yeah, that happens not a lot, but every now and then I'll be really, really sore and I'll think to myself, man, I've really screwed myself up. You know, this is not normal. Luckily for me, that so far I've been, you know, again, pretty lucky that it normally goes away after a couple of days. I haven't really had a kind of gym ending injury or, you know, any kind of surgery or anything like that. So I've been pretty lucky. Brian, so how can I tell whether I'm just really sore and maybe I need to take a rest day, or I'm injured and, you know, I need to go see a doctor or something like that?
Good question. I think that's difficult to answer 100% for each person. And then each person would be different. Some people come in and they're, you know, maybe their knee hurts or their back's sore and it's really hard. What we would do in the office, or if I saw them in the gym, is maybe just see what ranges of motion they can do. And if we could keep moving and keeping them active, then that would be our goal, thinking that like motion would be good for your joints and for your muscles to keep moving. I don't really think I would say like, okay, this person's injured or I'm in pain. There's like a saying like in sports, like if you're injured, you can play. If you're hurt, mm-hmm. you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't really think that pertains, you know, maybe to a sport where I need to play up to a certain thing where like my position won't be taken or it won't be good enough for in a game situation. But I think in like life and exercise, being able to, like, you could still be injured and have like a herniated disc or have a torn rotator cuff, but still be able to exercise. Whether it's wise or not, or what you're doing, or what the programming is, would certainly come into question and be an issue. But I don't necessarily think they might come to a point where somebody's like, okay, I can't do this. Like when we have somebody that says, oh, my knee hurts, I need to stop exercising, you know, I'll say to them, you know, that there are people without any legs that are exercising, or there's probably missing an arm right now that's exercising. I think if it gets to the point where it's impacting everything that you need to do, and there are certainly times that rest is the answer, but it's not going to be long-term rest for weeks or months on end.
Sure.
Yeah, I love that about CrossFit. That's probably like my most favorite thing, is that it's completely modifiable and scalable for everyone, and our bootcamp program both. So, for example, we've had coaches that have had major surgeries, a shoulder surgery or a back surgery or whatever, and been able to come back in and modify, still participate in the class, but that being able to keep that, to Brian's point, range of motion and keep that movement going about that joint helps in recovery.
Yeah, we've even, you know, we've had clients in casts on their legs and on crutches, they're still able to, you know, come in and do something. So I definitely agree with what you said, like being modifiable or scalable, you can always still do at least, you know, something, even if both of your legs were in a cast, you know, to me, that'd be a perfect opportunity to be working on my upper body strength. Yeah. So I feel like you kind of have to look at it, you know, in that light.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that when people get injured is they feel like they're not getting their money's worth of coming to the gym because they feel like, oh, I can't do this as fast as I can, or I can't do this anymore, and they totally forget the actual reason why they initially started exercising in the first place. And that's, once they can come over that mindset, I think they'll see the benefits of continuing to be active in general.
Sure. Cool. So the next thing I kind of wanted to ask about or get your opinion on is overtraining. There's a million different people out there that say a million different things that you can do it, you can't do it. Do you think overtraining happens? Is it possible? And do you think it leads to injury in the gym?
Yeah. Is it possible? Yes. But I think it comes down to a number of factors, you know, sleep, nutrition, genetic, not necessarily genetics, but like joints in general, previous surgeries. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of reasons why some people could do the volume of working out 5 hours a day and not be injured. And some people, 45 minutes to an hour, three times a week is enough. And that's going to come, are you sleeping well? Am I dealing with my stress levels properly? Am I moving properly and moving well? Am I eating well to supplement my training? All of those things would play a role in it. So when some people say, oh, I feel fine, and they're just bullshitting themselves, that's on, I think that's on them. And I think that if they are stressed out and they're not eating poorly and they are eating poorly, then yeah, they can come to the point where their bodies and tissues are starting to break down from quote unquote overtraining.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that, like Brian's saying, it's more of a whole athlete view, taking a look at everything, all those factors that can come into it. A lot of times, especially CrossFitters, can get caught up into, well, so-and-so that's going, a games athlete is working out 3 to 4 times, you know, a day. And so if I do that 3 or 4 times a day, then I'm going to be that games athlete. Well, you also have a job and a family, and you don't have someone focusing on your nutrition and making sure you're recovered and massage and all those things that those athletes have at their disposal for good reason, so that they're maintaining that whole body concept. So I totally agree. It's specific to each athlete. And how can we work on that threshold? How can we work on kind of listening to our bodies better?
So one thing that I like to do is obviously take some rest days. I think that kind of helps me from overtraining, if you will. They're always a little bit different. There's normally one day a week where I don't do anything. And then there's one day out of the week that I will still do something, but it's not necessarily going to be like CrossFit, no lifting weights. It might be, you know, going to the Whitewater Center for a run, or shooting basketball in between my classes, or, you know, it could be any number of things just to kind of keep the blood flowing and, you know, keep moving. And I wanted to touch really quick on what you said a second ago about like games, athletes and stuff. I know I've certainly fallen into this. You see on Instagram, they're doing, you know, 4 or 5 workouts a day, and oh, you know, I can do that. But what you don't see, you know, that's like their highlight reel. What you don't see is they're getting all their meals delivered to them, you know, for free. And they've got like an acupuncture guy, and they've got this and they've got that, you know.
And that's their main job.
Exactly. That's their job. That's what they get paid to do. So it's really easy to kind of fall into wanting to be like that, especially when, you know, you can kind of idolize some of these people, or you want to be able to do that or want to look like they do. But, you know, we just want to keep in mind that most of us average Joes out here are never going to the CrossFit games. We just want to be healthy. We want to be able to play with our kids, you know, look good naked, whatever our kind of goal is there. But as far as rest days, that's one way I try to listen to my body. And then again, if anything hurts, you know, I'm not afraid to scale. That doesn't hurt my ego at all. And a lot of times when I do scale, I get a better workout in anyway. So that's kind of my approach.
Yeah. And you can use that scaling to really work on some weaknesses. So like Brian, to Brian's point, you know, or your point earlier, if someone, you know, the athlete that has no legs is going to work on his upper body strength, you know, or has two casts on. So right now I have an athlete that is recovering from a shoulder injury. So he's doing a lot of single arm work. And honestly, he needed to work on that anyway to build up the left side of the weaker side of his body. So because he's compensated so much with that other side, he feels like that contributed to the injury on the right side of his body. So just things to keep in mind. To your point, active recovery is a big deal. Active recovery, the difference to me is getting that core temperature up. So instead of a rest day or taking that full day off, like you said, remaining active, but still not lifting weights, not getting to the intensity levels quite like a regular workout would be. Brian, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do the same thing as Whit pretty much. I try to work out 4 days a week with some rest days in the middle and over the weekend. And some of them are total rest. Some of them I might go to something like the Whitewater Center or just kind of move, come to a class like I did yesterday because my back was bothering me. So I modified down to just using a barbell and just kind of jogged a little bit to keep moving in some pain-free ranges of motion. I'll go to an acupuncturist a couple of times a year, even if nothing's bothering me, just to kind of, I feel like that really helps me, or a massage as well. And then just focusing on, I could definitely tell when my nutrition goes to crap, I'm going to feel like crap a little bit quicker.
Yeah,
as well.
That's a big one. A surefire way for your workouts to kind of go down the toilet or for you to get hurt really quickly would be not eating well. I know myself, just last week, I ate out, you know, I think at least once every day over the weekend. And on Monday, like I was just slow and sluggish. My body didn't move well. And I just felt, you know, like crap. So that definitely is, you know, a surefire way to get injured. The other thing that I wanted to kind of talk about really quick would be people that are maybe newer to the gym. Let's imagine I've got a client or a member who has no strict pull-ups, but you know they're up there banging out kipping pull-ups, or it could be handstand push-ups or something like that. And we often see those people get injured rather than the people that, you know, learn strict first. Do you think there's a correlation there, or how does that happen?
Yeah, I think there could be. I think, again, it's a pretty multifaceted reason why somebody's going to get injured. Those things certainly would add to it, not having the requisite strength or skills to be able to do something, but see my friend doing these things that I think I should be able to do because I look as good as them with my shirt off or whatever their reasons are. But, you know, a lot of people come in here and they think, okay, if I just come here 6 days a week, I'm going to magically see changes. And really explaining to them, like, it's almost like you're learning a new language and learning a new vernacular of stuff. And it's going to take some time for you to understand my body, understand how it moves. And I feel like when people come in here, people really lack like that body awareness for safety and getting them, and they just don't even think it's a thing, rightfully so, if they haven't been here or they're just doing their own thing for a while. Talking to them about getting them to slow down and seeing the big picture of, I understand you've got a wedding in 6 weeks, but I'm not really concerned about that wedding. I need you to like not get hurt and be here for 6 years from now, not 6 weeks from now.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful thing, something we do really well coming from the top down, like Brian just said, seeing those top athletes, coaches, scaling and modifying workouts on purpose is a real great thing for them to see, for that newer athlete and that coach pointing that out, that, you know, listen, everybody's scales for different reasons at different times. And so helping them to understand that, it's that journey that they're just starting at the beginning. And even if we're halfway through, there's no shame in that modification. The other thing I love that we do pretty well is you'll see a lot of our athletes, especially our more mature athletes, working like on crossover symmetry or some of those activation exercises prior, and then mobility after the workout, whether it's ROMWAD, yoga, something after that workout to increase that range of motion. So those things we know to prevent injury, we have to increase mobility. And having newer athletes, that can be a real benefit to see that happening for some more mature athletes or folks that they would be looking up to.
Yeah, so definitely that kind of stuff helps. And you'll notice the people that are successful in the gym, mm-hmm. the people that don't get hurt, put up the best scores on the workouts, that kind of stuff, they're the ones who want to do the things that we would consider not sexy, right? Crossover symmetry, foam rolling, lacrosse ball, all of these kind of things that nobody really wants to do because it's not flashy and it's not for time and, you know, doesn't necessarily make you look good. Those are the things that separate the people that are going to be really good athletes and kind of mature and not get injured compared to, you know, somebody that just walks in off the street, they're 5 minutes late to class, they don't have time to stretch, warm up, they hop in, you know, that's the person, at least from my experience, that's going to end up getting hurt. Or, you know, that's a big one for me when I coach classes, and sometimes people are late, they don't warm up at all, they want to just hop right in the class. It always kind of freaks me out that, you know, that's like a recipe for disaster right there. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree 100%. You'll see those, just like the top athletes in the world, everybody's like, oh, I think if I just play more golf, I'll be like Tiger Woods, or swing the bat more, I'll be like this guy or that guy. It's all the behind the scenes. It's not the Instagram, social media, hashtag stuff that nobody's like hashtag foam rolling, hashtag sure. going to, you know. Sure. But that's why. Those are the people that are going to last the length of time and have the durability to be able to, like, injury not be the reason of something that derails them wanting to improve 100%.
Sure. So let's bring this all around. Let's say I did get injured. I've got a shoulder injury. I've got a knee, a leg, or whatever. What should I do? How should I continue my training to not lose my fitness while rehabbing, recovering from whatever the injury may be? Let's talk a little bit about modifying workouts, resting, when is it appropriate to not come to the gym versus when it's kind of appropriate to push through, you know, and how can I modify to still be able to stay fit?
So I'll start. I think that everything is modifiable. Obviously, I've got a client who's 74 years old, and he could still be in the same workout with one of those elite athletes. Maybe it's going to be time. Sometimes we can modify that time or the actual amount of reps, so the volume, and definitely load. If you've got something that is like a thoracic or a spinal issue, that definitely would be load. You're wanting to make sure, obviously, that we're not increasing the likelihood of making that back injury worse. And Brian can talk more about that. But as far as when the athletes are in my classes or I'm doing personal training with them, I'm going to try to still allow them to get the intensity and get their core temperatures up, get them breathing, get the benefit of the movement without obviously causing injury by scaling one of those couple of things. And of course, if it is an injury, like I mentioned earlier, where it is just on one, let's say one arm, one shoulder, you can still work on that other side of the body, still using similar movements. Beauty of dumbbells instead of a barbell. Now I can work that side of their body. Brian, what do you got to add to that?
Yeah, so when somebody comes to us and they're injured, our first goal would be like trying to figure out what their pain-free ranges of motion are, being able to work within those as long as they're seeing progress. You know, somebody can work through their pain-free ranges of motion and not be making any progress getting better, then we have to kind of peel mm-hmm. the onion, so to speak, a little bit deeper to what might be causing their problem. You know, you could have a poor hip that's causing knee pain, so when you do it, it doesn't cause knee pain, but you're still banging on that crappy hip motion. Our first, if they can't do that, my first go-to is personal training, mm-hmm. where we could put them in a one-on-one setting. We'll talk about working on their weaknesses. So we'll have people in the past that have had like a torn Achilles or wearing a boot, and we'll focus on upper body pulling or pressing strength. We won't even deal with the lower body then for, you know, 6 or 8 or 12 weeks, however it is. On the other hand, when we treat people, 95% of the time, our goal is to keep them as active as possible, mm-hmm. to continue with what they're doing, modifying as needed, moving within their pain-free range of motion. Because for a lot of people, them not exercising is a super stressful situation for them. And if my brain is stressed out because I'm missing this stuff and exercise like de-stresses me from the crappy life that I've got at work or home or whatever it is, that's going to impact that their healing. So if they could come to the gym and just ride a bike or just hop on a row or just be around their friends and get a little sweaty, as long as we're still making progress in their healing, then we try to keep people as active as possible. And that's kind of always been at least my thing and what we try to get people to do here.
Yeah, and I have a great story to go along with that. I had a client that Brian saw that had a torn meniscus from a bear hunt, nonetheless, which was pretty hysterical. But as he rehabbed, as he continued to coming in and really working the muscles around that torn meniscus, in fact, he never had to have the surgery. He was kind of on the fence where the tear was, but he never had it. And just being able to come in and then work maybe some strength pieces, being able to work for depth, range of motion in the squat. He actually says now the knee feels better without the surgery, but having stronger muscles than it did prior to the injury. So to Brian's point, just staying in class and being able to scale that and work around that injury has actually worked for the better.
Yeah, you know, just to piggyback kind of off of that, I think the worst possible thing that somebody could do would be get hurt, feel sorry for themselves, sit at home on the couch and, you know, eat chips and watch hours and hours and hours of TV. You'd just be depressed, especially if you really kind of live this fitness lifestyle like we do. I couldn't think of, you know, anything that would be worse. Your range of motion is going to be worse. You're not going to feel good. Like Brian said, you might be depressed. You might, you know, whatever you got to do. I think we all agree that trying to stay moving, if, you know, physically possible, is going to be the best bet. Anything cool. else?
No, that's good.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time.